Pakistani detainee Abdul Majid weighed 154 pounds when he was taken into custody by intelligence agents 18 months ago. Today he weighs only 88 pounds, is extremely weak, and suffers from kidney problems. In an unprecedented hearing, Majid and several other detainees appeared before Pakistan's Supreme Court. The High Court had ordered Pakistan's Secret Inter-Service Intelligence, or ISI, spy agency to produce detainees who they seized in 2010 after the men were acquitted of terrorism charges stemming from attacks against Pakistani military installations. The detainees remain in ISI custody. The court learned that 4 of the 11 men in the group had died in custody, and if it rules that these men were illegally detained and/or tortured, the ISI agents involved could be held criminally liable. According to the Los Angeles Times, for many years the ISI and Pakistan's military have operated beyond the reach of civilian law and remained unaccountable for their actions. Human rights activists have long suspected that the ISI and other security agencies regularly abducted citizens without legal cause, so the hearing before Pakistan's Supreme Court was historic and a sign of a growing role by the courts in monitoring the nation's security agencies. However, Tariq Asad, the detainee's lawyer, asserted that criminal sanctions against the ISI were unlikely. "Nobody has ever dared to do that," Asad said. He is focusing solely on gaining the release of the long-imprisoned men. Public safety officials in Rio de Janeiro are making reform of the city's police force a top priority in the lead-up to the 2014 World Cup and the 2016 Olympic Games. Rio police have a long history of corruption, links to violent militias, and extrajudicial killings. The city has recently won international praise for recruiting new police officers and providing them with extensive human rights training. These newly trained police are regaining control of urban slums or favelas, which are often run by drug gangs and armed militia groups. Independent researchers say the militias, with links to corrupt elements within the police department, are a more serious danger to people living in the favelas than the drug gangs. A decade ago, police received bonuses for killing suspected criminals on Rio's streets, and human rights groups say 2007 was the most violent year, with over 1,300 so-called resistance killings. This number has since fallen off, but many officers are still tempted by corruption. 30 members of an elite unit were suspended last fall for accepting bribes from known drug dealers. The U.S. Supreme Court is moving toward a decision that would shield multinational corporations and political organizations from being sued in American courts for violating human rights in other nations. In late February, the High Court heard arguments in the Kiobel v. Royal Dutch Petroleum case filed by plaintiffs from Nigeria who claim Shell Oil was complicit in violence carried out by the Nigerian military in the 1990s. In another case, Mohammed v. Palestinian Authority, family members of a Palestinian-born man tortured and killed in 1995 on the West Bank are seeking relief by citing the 1991 Torture Victims Protection Act. In the Shell case, Nigerians and their lawyers are referencing the 1789 Alien Tort Claims Act to gain access to U.S. courts. Over the last decade, human rights lawyers have employed this law to win a historic settlement from oil company Unocal over slave labor abuses in Burma. Family members of executed Nigerian activist Ken Sarawiwa won an out-of-court settlement against Shell, also citing the law. However, in the Kiobel case, the Second Circuit Court of Appeals dismissed the lawsuit, declaring that the Alien Torts Statute does not give U.S. courts jurisdiction over activities by U.S. multinationals in other countries, citing standards of international law. Justice William Kennedy, citing a brief filed by oil giant Chevron, stated, "No other nation in the world permits its courts to exercise universal jurisdiction over extraterritorial human rights abuses to which the country has no connection." This week's news summary was compiled by Bob Nixon. For Between the Lines, I'm Liz Becker.